Father, we thank you that you are good and you're loving and you're caring. And even as we sing those last words, Lord, we're reminded of that time in the book of Daniel where Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they refuse to bow down to an idol. And they refuse to bow down to anything other than you. And even as they are facing the fiery furnace, Lord, they say, our God can rescue us, but even if he doesn't, we're still going to follow him. Lord, we thank you for that faithfulness. We thank you for that example of true dependence on you. And we thank you, Lord, that as we sing this song, we know that you're right there with us. We know that if we have put our trust in Jesus, the Holy Spirit is dwelling inside of us. So, Lord, as we face the battles of the day, as we go about our business, as we try to live this messy life, Lord, would you remind us that you're right there with us? Would you remind us that you will never leave or forsake us? Would you remind us that you're standing right next to us? As we worship you this morning, Lord, we pray that it's not just words. We pray that it's not just us going through the motions because it's Sunday and that's what we're supposed to do. But instead, Lord, we pray that you would transform our hearts, transform our minds this morning. Lord, we want to leave this room not the same way that we came in. We want to leave this room seeing you more clearly, deeper in love with you, and walking closer with you. Lord, as we continue to worship you, would you use your word to encourage us and to bless us, to equip us, to challenge us, convict us, Lord, where we need it. We thank you so much for who you are. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Good morning. You may be seated. Well, I do gotta say Happy Mother's Day, and also along with that, the Happy Mother's Day part. Thanks, moms, for being so patient with us. Both mothers that are dealing with subpar gifts that the dad has cobbled together with the kids and signed their names on. Thank you for that. Moms that have grown up kids. Thank you so much for continuing to be patient with them. I got a confession. So earlier this week, I have my Mother's Day gift, my Mother's Day card to my mom that I am walking to the post office to deliver. And I feel so proud of myself I feel proud of myself because I'm listening to my wife who's saying, you need to mail that out today or else it's not going to get there in time. I said, okay, I got you. So I'm feeling proud of myself that I'm actually doing it, right? And as I go to let it go in the mail drop, it leaves my hand and I realize there's no stamp on it. So moms, it doesn't get better. Us kids continue to make mistakes and continue to not deliver on our gifts. But we are very thankful for you. I guess it's confession time this morning because I have another confession. So this morning I walk in to the kitchen area to grab some coffee, as is my custom on Sunday mornings. And I'm hearing this ruckus about there are carafes that are missing. And they're looking for these coffee carafes that are missing. And I'm realizing that is my fault. So I'm just delivering this message for the kitchen crew. There's lots of coffee after service, but if it comes a little bit slower, it's because someone dropped the ball, and that's me. So it's Teacher Appreciation Week this last week, and we often will give the schools coffee. And so this last week, we gave the middle school a bunch of coffee, and we had four crafts that we delivered there. And I'm thinking, this is great. Ashley works at the middle school. She can just collect them on her way at the end of the school, and then we'll have them for Sunday. Easy peasy, no big deal. That is a great plan. And I'm so glad that I thought of that wonderful plan. The only thing missing is I didn't tell Ashley to collect them. So that's on me. So be patient with the coffee, with the kitchen staff as they get you your coffee this morning. I didn't just tell those stories just to, you know, make myself look bad and confess things to you. But I do got to tell you, do you ever feel like a failure? You know, I know those are silly examples, But sometimes the silly examples, you start to add them up, and then at the end of the day, you realize I've made 5, 10, 15 mistakes today, and they're all small on their own, but then you get to the end of the day, and you just kind of feel like a failure. You kind of just feel like you dropped the ball, right? You literally mailed the card without a stamp, right? Who does that? Well, I feel as though I've interacted with enough moms that moms, you often feel that way. And I want to tell you that you're not a failure. I want to tell you that the Lord loves you and he's working through you in spite of and in despite of all the things that you fall short on. And that's not just for moms. That's for each and every one of us. You got to know that. God is working in us. God is working through us. And our failures, they're often an opportunity for us to step back and allow God to shine. And the failures that we have, the things that we fall short on, if we're willing and if we allow him to, God can work through those. So as I was thinking about this Mother's Day today and this message, I want you to know that it's not just for moms, okay? So guys, you gotta tune in too. But it's interesting because we have, for the last month or so, been working through Genesis. And we've been looking at this family, and we've been seeing this family that has a lot of dysfunction and a lot of great things, this covenant family of Abraham and Sarah and their son Isaac, and Isaac and his wife Rebecca, and then their sons Esau and Jacob. And we've been looking at this family, this covenant family chosen by God. We've seen God work through them. We've seen them step up to the plate and be faithful. We've seen Abraham literally put Isaac on the altar and say, God, I believe in you. God, I believe that you can raise him up. God, I am deciding to trust in you. We've also seen Abraham's failure. We've seen his faith, and we've seen his faithlessness. We've seen the same from Isaac. We've seen his faith. We've seen his faithlessness. And we've seen the same from the women in the story as well. We've seen Sarah, this woman who in her old age, God told her, you will have a son. And what was her reaction? She laughed. She said, oh no, this could never happen. She just demonstrated a lack of faith in the midst of that. But at the same time, God was faithful to his promise to her and to Abraham, and she gave birth to a son. We've seen God bless time and time again. It's interesting. It's not just Sarah who was barren and the Lord gave a child. It's also Rebecca, Isaac's wife. She was not able to have a child. And Isaac prayed. They prayed together, and the Lord allowed there to be children, Esau and Jacob. We've seen God give good gifts in the midst of this dysfunctional family. And as we look at this story, if we read the story of this covenant family, I think a lot of us feel as though there are different points that we can relate to. There's different things that we can look at and we can say, yep, that was me. I've been faithless. Yep, that was God. He's been faithful. Yep, that was me. I can put myself in the midst of that situation. I can see my messy family story, and I can lament over the messy family here. And then we walk back and we say, well, what's some steps that we can take in order to avoid some of this family dysfunction? What's some steps that we can take in order to avoid faithlessness? Who can I be in Jesus Christ in order to make sure that I'm following him, that my eyes are fixed and focused on him, that I'm not lying, that I'm not deceiving, that I'm not trusting in myself, that I'm not trying to do things on my own will, in my own strength, in my own power? How, Lord, give me an answer. How can I follow you faithfully? And thankfully, the Bible gives us all these answers. Thankfully, we see time and time again God show up and tell us exactly what we need to know. We can go to Galatians, for instance. And in Galatians chapter 5, we read, but I say, walk by the Spirit. Okay, I'll walk by the Spirit. What does that mean? And you will not gratify the desires of the flesh, for the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. for they are opposing to each other, to keep you from doing the things that you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh, and this is the list I think that we often go to. These are the list of things that we can't do, that we shouldn't do. The things that are on this no bad list. And you know what? It's a list that we need to pay attention to. Now the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the things like these. I warn you, as I have warned you before, that those who do these things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. And we read that list, and we say, yes, Lord, that's not who I want to be. Yes, Lord, help me to stay away from those things. A similar list is found in Colossians, when in chapter 3, verse 5, put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you: sexual immorality, impurity, passions, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Later on, we read, put them away: anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another. We read these lists and we say, yes, God, help me to avoid those things. Yes, Lord, help me to stay on the right track. Help me to live for you in everything I do. I want to put these things to death. And that's good. We ought to be praying for that. We ought to be living our lives that looks exactly opposite of these lists. But unfortunately, we get so caught up in avoiding the lists that sometimes some of us will take what God has given us, the good gifts that God has given us, the good things that God has given us, and we actually start to twist that. We actually start to turn the good gifts that God gives us into idols. And we think, okay, I'm fine. I'm good. I'm not doing the things on the list in Galatians. I'm certainly not doing the things on the list in Colossians. And so I'm good. And when we say, I'm good, we start to become maybe complacent, maybe a little too comfortable. We start to think that we are better than we actually are. And think about this concept of taking God's good gifts and turning them into idols. It starts in the very beginning. God gave Adam and Eve a good gift, the garden. He gave them this beautiful garden, and he says, this is your garden to work. This is your garden to tend. I want you to live in this garden and work the ground. And I want good things to happen. All you got to do is not eat of that fruit from that one tree. Everything else is yours. And what about Adam and Eve? They gave in to the temptation to be like God. They gave in to the temptation to take this good gift that God gave and twist it. And we see the fall. Think about Rebecca. We just talked about her story and her child's story a few weeks ago. Rebecca, this awesome mother, this mother who in so many ways has demonstrated a faithfulness to God. This woman who, as Isaac's wife, together they have been awesome. Together they have served God. And then what happens? God gave Rebecca a good gift. God gave her the gift of two sons, twins. She went from being barren to now having twins. And in the midst of that, she gives birth. And what happens? This good gift that God gave, she twists. And she begins to make an idol out of Jacob. She begins to follow herself rather than trusting in God. She makes decisions that add to the dysfunction of the family. She makes decisions that cause herself and her son to sin. She takes this good gift that God gave, she makes it into an idol. We can do the same, can't we? Think about the good things in your life. Again, you don't have to be a mom to think through this. Think about the things in your life that you hold up as good. The things in your life that you hold up as precious. For some of you, maybe it's your job. For some of you, maybe it's that promotion that you just got. And that's great. Some of you, maybe it's your family. Maybe it's your house. Maybe it's the intangible relationships that you have with people. These are all good things. But if we put anything above God, it becomes an idol. If we put anything and we begin to worship it rather than the giver, it becomes an idol. And it becomes a problem. Here's the reality. That job you love, the job that you devote all your time and your energy to, that job that begins to take away slowly at first, but then more and more and more, that job that begins to take away family time, eventually you'll retire or be fired, laid off. Eventually that job will end. And then you'll be sitting there and you'll be wondering, well, what do I worship now? That child that you've prayed for so long, Ashley and I get it. We prayed for a kid for a long time. That child that you prayed for and you love and you've given your heart and soul, that child that you've made sure that you're putting their good above your own, guess what? Eventually that child will move out of your house, maybe, hopefully. That child will move out, and then you'll be alone as an empty nester, and you'll be wondering, what do I put all my energy and effort into now? Maybe you won't say it, but the implicit will be, what do I worship now? Who do I worship now? What about your spouse? Even the best marriages end. Even the best marriages have that clause, till death do us part. So what about your spouse? Are you worshiping your spouse? These are all good things. And I don't want us to walk away saying, I should hate all these things. But what I want us to walk away realizing is that God gives good gifts. But ultimately, we worship the giver and not the gifts. Ultimately, we look to the God who's given us these wonderful things and we say, thank you, Lord. Help me to steward these relationships well. Help me to live a life that is honoring and pleasing to you. Help me to be a good example, but let nothing in my life, even the good stuff, let it never come before you. It's easy, once again, to read these lists in Galatians and Colossians and say, obviously I don't want to be this person. Obviously I want to flee from sexual immorality and impurity, evil desires, covetousness. Obviously I don't want to be drunk. Obviously I don't want to do these things. It's easy for us to focus on those bad things and say, God, those are never coming before you. That's not who I am. It's a little bit more difficult to look at the good things in my life and say, God, my identity's not wrapped up in those good things. My identity's wrapped up in you. If we go back and read Colossians chapter 3, verse 1, it says this, if then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things of this earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will appear with him in glory. As a believer, if you have put your trust in Jesus Christ, you have died to yourself and you now live to God in Christ. Your life is hidden together with Christ. And that means that it's no longer you that lives, but him. John has something to say about this as well. If we go to the book of 1 John, towards the end, actually at the very end, John has this to say. John chapter 5, verse 20, it says this, and we know that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding so that we may know him who is true, and we are in him who is true, in his Son, Jesus Christ. He is the true God and eternal life. What an awesome way to end his book. What an awesome way to end this first letter of 1 John, saying, we know that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding. It's through Jesus that we know how to live for God. It's because of Jesus that we can have a relationship with God. It's all by, through, and because of Jesus that any of this Christianity stuff works. It's only because of him that we have meaning. It's only because of him that we have any source of life. So that we may know him who is true. In life, it's so difficult for us sometimes to discern what is good and what is true and what is false and what is an imitation. But because of Jesus Christ, we can know what is true because He is truth. And we are in Him who is true. In His Son, Jesus Christ, He is the true God and eternal life. We don't have to settle for less than. We don't have to settle for something that is an imitation. We can have true eternal life because of Jesus Christ. We can understand what truth is. We can know what it means to live to God, to have a relationship with God. What an awesome way for John to end his book. But he doesn't end with those words. Verse 21 says this, little children, it's an endearing term. It's an endearing term. He's not putting people down, but I love the term. He uses it multiple times throughout his book when he says little children. He's not talking to little kids. He's talking to those who he has helped to raise up in the faith, those who he has discipled. When he says little children, I love the term because it's endearing, but also I read it and I remind myself that I'm a child. I remind myself that I have a heavenly Father who loves me and cares for me. And I read this term and it's kind of humbling, isn't it? It's kind of humbling to read that you are a little child. It's kind of humbling for us to read this and say, yes, that's me. I'm just a little child. My heavenly Father, He's there and He loves me and He cares for me. He wraps His arms around me. He says, little children, keep yourself from idols. What an interesting way to end. He goes from talking about who we are in Christ, what we have in Christ, this identity that is ours because of Christ, and the relationship with God that we can have because of Christ. And then he says, almost out of the blue, little children, keep yourself from idols. The end. Why would he end in such a way? Because I think as human beings, it's our tendency to worship something. It's our tendency to always be focusing our desires, our affections, our love, everything that we have on something. And if it's not on God, something else is going to come and fill in the gaps, won't it? Little children, keep yourself from idols. It's easy for us to look at the bad stuff in life and say, yep, keep yourself from those idols. They're no good. They're bad. They're yucky. It's a little bit more difficult for us to look at the good stuff in my life, the good stuff that God has given us, and say, I love it. I love them. I love whatever this good gift that God has given me, but it has to always be second place. It has to always be behind and after my God. Because He is a jealous God. He is a God that has given everything for you. He is a God that is worthy of all of our worship, all of our praise, all of our affection, all of our love. Him and Him alone should stand in the number one spot in your life. What are the things that are creeping in? What are the things that creep into that number one spot? What are the things that we think as, oh, they're great. It's not a problem. It's fine. And before you know it, we're worshiping something that's not our God. Little children, keep yourself from idols. It's a warning. It's a reminder. It's something that the people of God, we look at and we say, nothing in the place of number one in my life, but my good and awesome God who loves me, who is able to deliver me from the pits of hell. My good and awesome God who has given me anything and everything I need. My good and awesome God who, even if I lose everything, even if I lose all the things I hold dear, He can and should still be enough. Is that your attitude? Is that your heartbeat? Are you here this morning and are you saying, yes, Lord, nothing but You? Or do you feel like a little prick? Do you feel something hurt a little bit? Because you know we're touching on something that maybe is near and dear to you. Every day, Lord, Would my focus, my attention, my love, my worship be to you and you alone? Father, thank you for this morning. Lord, we thank you for the good gifts that you've given us. Whether that's parents or spouses, children, good, awesome, godly relationships, whether that's physical things such as a house or a job, Lord, you have bestowed on us so much. And you've blessed us beyond anything that we ever deserve. God, you are so good, and we thank you for that, Lord. But help us to focus on the blesser rather than just simply the blessings. Help us to focus on and worship the giver rather than the gifts themselves. Lord, we love you, and we pray that each and every day our lives will be hidden in Christ, that we would die to ourselves daily, that we would live to you, and that we live a life that is pleasing to you, that our worship would be dedicated to you and you alone, because you and you alone are worthy. God, we thank you for who you are. Help us to see you more clearly each and every single day. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I wanted to end here with reading doxology here in Jude. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time and now and forever. Amen. God bless you. See you next week.